pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper, Pencil, Dice. We're ready to get started. Tony, what should we do next?
All right. Well, what happened last time?
What happened last time?
So we climbed down a hole. So we climbed down a hole that had a body at the bottom of it, I think. We were going to go investigate what happened to the person. We were trying to find a guy named Roderick, right?
Yeah. Yep. Tegan was convinced ended he was up. Dead, and thankfully someone else figured out he wasn't. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That body ended up being Roderick.
He probably takes the objection to being called a body.
Okay. Roderick was at the bottom of the hole unconscious.
Everybody is somebody.
Somebody.
Although he was somebody with no EpiPens in this case.
Yeah. No EpiPens.
And he's one less pocket watch now.
Only taking it to fix it.
Sure.
So we ended up taking a long rest to let Roderick regain strength. During that time, we had a couple watches.
Yep. What happened during those watches?
I believe Hup found some spider webs with his face.
Almost.
There may have been some childlike screaming, but we won't talk about that anymore.
That was the second watch. The first watch, we actually lost our way out. The rope was cut on us.
Yep.
Which Jethal is very disturbed about.
Yes, we've got a hyperventilating wizard over here.
Yeah, it's pretty standard for a wizard.
And there was some critter chitter.
Yeah, and we're ready to hit the east hallway. Tegan is very concerned about the human-shaped mummified people.
So they're probably just mannequins.
Yep. I think we saw that. So first of all, before we dive in, we had just finished at the end of the last episode an extended rest. So there's a number of things that happen at the end of every extended rest. So everyone, first of all, resets back to one hero point.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
No matter how many you had
collected. I had 42.
Well, now you have one. And then go ahead and heal your hit points back up. And Aether, I believe you have something that triggers also on...
Yeah, I have the skill Ancestral Longevity, which allows me to choose a skill to be trained. And today I would like to choose Stealth, since we're at the bottom of a dark, dank something.
Good choice. So let's jump into it here. So you guys proceed down the hallway. And can you guys go ahead and give me your marching order really quick?
Yeah, Hup will be leading the way. I've got a torch out in my left hand. My rapier is in my right.
Okay.
I will back up Hup right behind him, just in case anything comes out at us.
So that's Aether, and then Tegan will be third.
Okay.
And then Roderick and Jethal are side by side.
They're elbows linked and skipping along behind you.
Exactly.
Hi-ho. It's down the scary hallway we go.
Oh, God, the spider's over there.
With a paper bag.
Yes.
With a paper bag.
I have the paper bag in one hand just in case I need it.
All right. So you make it down the hallway, and you find a spider web with a somewhat Hup-like face impression.
Do I need to do a stealth check on this?
Yeah, go ahead and give me a stealth check first.
I rolled a 9. I get to add 7, so it is a total of 16.
All right, good deal. So you are pretty stealthy leading the group down this way. Yeah, so you encounter that same spider web.
Yep.
What do you guys do from here?
Now that I have a torch, I can see a little farther. Do I see any, like... multifaceted eyeballs looking at me? Do I see...
You do see some spiders, but these are what you would consider normal-sized spiders. So there's no, like, monstrously, like, you know, human or horse-sized spiders here.
So these are normal...
Back to the rest of the group, I said, I swear they were bigger earlier.
but there are spiders here, you know, there's some decent-sized ones, probably the largest that you see in this area, about the size of your hand.
Oh, okay. I was going to say normal-sized spiders, like 3 foot by 3 foot.
Yeah.
Normal giant spiders.
Medium-sized. No medium-sized spiders here.
So I'm going to use a torch to kind of clear out some of the webs as we kind of go down.
Burn the webs away.
But not like ignite them all the way down, right? Does that make sense? So I don't, like a controlled burn, right?
A controlled burn. Okay.
Using your rapier to cut them.
So
exactly.
How dense are these webbings?
It's a slash and burn technique. A slash and burn.
Slash. So essentially, doing a controlled burn would be, in this scenario, the best skill I would say to apply to would probably be survival.
Excellent.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I rolled a 7 and I add a 3, so I have a 10, okay. Which is easily halfway to 20.
Easily halfway to 20. Precisely halfway to 20, in fact. So you are able to clear out a good chunk of the spider webs, at least those between you and the webbed bodies over there. So that chunk of spider web goes away.
Okay.
And you see, but you didn't. There's webbing going all the way up. So at the end of this hallway, it kind of bends off to the north.
Okay.
And as you see it heading north, you see webbing kind of going all the way down.
Does it get thicker, or is it just the same level of density?
Some areas it's further down it's thicker, but between here and there, there's some areas where it's kind of thinning, or the webbing is kind of old and falling off the walls.
Okay. All right. Tegan's going to go check the bodies and see if...
How dead they are.
How dead they are, yes. Okay. Hopefully do a better check this time.
All right, go ahead and give me a medicine check.
Wow, one more than last time. So I went from a 3 on the die, and another 3 is a 6.
You have a +3 on medicine?
Oh, 0, my bad, so it's a 3.
So a 3 overall. Well, you go up, and these bodies are colder than Roderick was.
Wow. They might be alive, guys.
You start digging a hole.
Get my pickaxe out and dig into the stone.
How is there spider webs down that north hallway there?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah, there are spider webs going to so at the end of the hallway that you guys traveled down, there's the two bodies that are wrapped up in spider webbing, and then to the north from here, so a left turn down this hallway. There is more spider webs going all the way up.
Okay. How dense are these spider webs? Are they really thick and are they really wispy?
Further up the hallway, in the distance, you see they do get thicker. Where you're at, they're kind of thinner at the moment.
Okay. They're wispy. Okay. I will position myself at the entrance to this room here on the north end.
Okay.
So that while they investigate the bodies.
As we observed Tegan checking the bodies, is it an eye-rolling type of event where he's like checking the pulse at their skull, or we would maybe need to double-check his work?
He's kind of checking them like you would check like a child's fever, so he's just kind of like putting his hand on their forehead and going like, they're cold. That's his answer.
So I think maybe Huck might,
in the world.
Huck might just do... quality check.
Okay. Quality control.
Quality control. It's just the way we work. I rolled a 13. I have a 0 on my medicine check, but it is a 13.
You are fairly confident they are cold. They are not breathing, and they also seem somewhat desiccated. They're probably dead and have been for a while.
Right. I'm just going to make sure they don't have any EpiPens on them.
you after rifling through their pockets, you find a disappointing 0 EpiPens.
0 EpiPens.
End of your investigation.
All right. Now, you know when I say EpiPens, I actually mean like anything, right?
No, when you say EpiPens, I assume you're looking for EpiPens.
Only EpiPens.
He's just throwing jewels and gold around. Nope, I need EpiPens.
So you go looking through their things. You find a, there's like leather armor that's like decomposed.
Sure.
There are, probably a few coins on one of them.
Right.
One thing you do find that does stick out a little bit, there is a really, really nice ornate short sword. I'm one of them.
Is he laying on it? That would be uncomfortable laying on it.
He would be uncomfortable.
So we should just maybe put that in my pack just to make sure that it's not uncomfortably laid upon.
I mean, he's probably not... This webbed corpse is probably not that concerned with comfort at this point. But,
I mean...
We always believe that until it's true.
So can I take can I look at the sword real quick that you carry picking up?
Sure.
I just want to see what it's worth.
Is appraise?
Mercantile.
Mercantile R?
Sure. 15. 11 on the die.
This is a fairly well-crafted sword. It's probably worth somewhere between 20 to 100 gold.
Okay. Wow.
Rich.
So you know that a body is cold, but you're like, as soon as that, you're like, yep. I'm glad you're like, just like, yep, that's a sword. It could be worth something.
It's a really good sword. It could be worth quite a bit of money. We should definitely take that with us.
If it weren't next to this dead body, it would be worth a lot more.
Yes.
Really, it really drags down the resale value.
Right. Can anyone use the short sword?
I cannot.
I could. But it depends if we should probably find out more about it.
We're just going to keep this safe in case this guy peels. So,
all right.
Is there a skill like identify or something like that that would tell us if it's a magical weapon or anything like that?
We can detect magic on it.
Yeah, you
can detect magic, but that only allows you to check magic in your area. So.
Yeah.
If anyone else has magic.
How would we determine if this is a magic weapon?
There is another cantrip that actually detects a specific item and details about it.
So we just need to take this back to town if none of us have it and have somebody appraise it then? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. For my craftsman check, could I tell if it's like of superior quality?
It's definitely of superior craftsmanship. That's why it's definitely worth more. Because the standard short sword is only worth a few gold.
Okay.
So this is... Probably there's some like ornate carvings in the handle, and there's probably...
I recognize it as fine craftsmanship.
You do recognize it as fine craftsmanship. Absolutely.
All right. Okay.
Fine.
Well, let's keep going.
Fine.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you want to guard the bodies or watch the bodies so they don't attack us from behind? And, yeah.
I'm not Tegan.
Oh, you're right. Dethal. I apologize. Y'all look the same to me. Not
the same. Dang.
Well, Tegan's like 2.5 feet tall.
With a huge snout.
Identical.
I
elf,
sit.
Is that right, Dethal?
What?
Yes.
I'm an elf, yes.
Elves and gnomes all the
time. I'm a gnome.
I stay away from the bodies, but I will stand right around the corner.
Okay.
Or come up to the corner, I should say.
In case they jump out at you.
Yeah. So let it keep going in the old marching order we had?
Yep.
I guess the question would be, guys, do we want to continue down the spider webby hallway, or would we want to go back the other direction towards the hallway with out the spider webs?
The other one had the trap on it, so that we knew if somebody was coming behind us, so mm-hmm. Let's keep going.
They're well-crafted.
Well-crafted trap?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Hup, do you want to start clearing out the spider webs for us with that?
Do we hear any critter chitter down the hallway?
You hear a little bit more critter chitter. You also, when you did burn that webbing away the first time, you see kind of some burned out husks of small spiders.
Sure.
That were probably in the webbing.
Right. Do they seem like adolescent type smaller ones, or do they seem like... You know, because typically you can tell younger-looking spiders by the way they...
Nature.
Give me a nature check to see how well you identify the aging process of spiders.
I rolled a 10, and my nature is a 0, so that would make it a...
10.
10, yeah.
Okay. So...
That's like half a 20.
These are... Yeah, it is half a
20. Half a 20!
Woohoo! You're consistent.
That's half of perfect.
Last episode, you were consistent as well.
Right.
But you, you look at them and they definitely don't look fully developed as far as spiders, but you're not as well versed with the life cycle of spiders to know exactly right. How old they are. But based upon what you can see of the burnt husks of them, they had not reached full maturity yet.
Right. They don't have like spider toys with them or anything like that.
Right. There's no spider rattles or anything.
Gotcha.
Like that.
Okay. So we will go, let's continue northward, I think.
Onward and upwards.
Okay. So you're going to continue burning and...
Slash and burn technique.
Slash and burn technique. Okay, give me another survival check.
All right. That is a 14, which is even better. That's like over halfway to 20.
That is over halfway to 20. So... you continue moving on, and there's a few times you kind of get stuck in webbing again, but you quickly able to get it off yourself.
Are the spiders, are there more spiders?
There are more spiders.
The are there bigger spiders?
Some are slightly bigger. You see some that are maybe dinner plate sized.
Sure.
At this point.
I use small dinner plates, so.
Oh, then that's slightly less threatening then. and you find up here another body wrapped up in webbing.
All right, I'll check it to see if it's dead.
Tegan,
we should see how.
After a little while, I think they're going to stop trusting your medical diagnoses.
Probably. It's getting better. He's getting some practice in.
Yeah, it is. 7 on the die total.
It's probably dead.
Awesome.
Probably.
All right. Did you want to check it for
just quality purposes?
Just check to see if it has anything on it or anything.
Yep. So that's a 13 on the dice and 0 modifier.
Yeah. This one definitely is dead. The other thing is it's cold. It's drained. It's desiccated like the other ones. Although the body is slightly fresher, so this is probably, whereas those previous corpses you saw were probably weeks old, this one is probably days old.
Gotcha.
Is it laying on a short sword or anything?
It is not laying on a short sword. In fact, this one actually, it does appear that there was something in its hand, and after it died, it was pulled out of its hand, so there's like, its hand is in the position of holding onto something. It's, you know, it's rigor mortis in the position of holding onto
something. Would it be the size of an orb, or like a size of a weapon?
Size of a weapon, you would see. It looks like a haft of a weapon it was probably holding,
okay.
But it has definitely been pulled out of its grasp since...
Okay. Like a handheld weapon, not like a catapult or something.
Yes, it was not holding onto a catapult.
I think we have reason to be alarmed. I think the spiders are armed.
They're also legged.
All right.
They have 8 arms.
All right.
So let's keep slashing and burning.
Do we see anything down the hallway past this?
So hold on, let's see. First of all, let's move everyone up to where the corpse is. So we have, he has not declared he's moving him up, but we have our two medical investigators are up here.
CSI.
Dun, dun, dun.
presumably, Aether has taken point guarding in front of us.
I'll be in the front while they are.
Is Jithal still back with the other two bodies, or has he proceeded forward?
No, we've come along with them. Both okay. Me and Roderick are coming along.
Roderick's following you because I think he might almost be more nervous about this than you are.
Oh.
Do you have...
So we keep doing this leapfrog game?
Yeah.
Kay. No, after you. No, after you.
I'm assuming that's move stuff with your mind, or
no? It's like you can make sounds and things of that nature.
Nope.
Can
message you silently? I can message you. I can whisper in your ear.
Can you make it sound spooky?
No.
Hey, how's it going?
But you're the only one that's gonna hear it.
No, I'm just. I kind of nudge you, and I whisper into your ear.
Yeah.
We should make noises into Jethal's ears to make him scared and keep up with us.
Were you guys? I'm curious.
He's a wizard. He's gonna know that I'm doing this.
Harper,
he might not.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Harper Tegan, I was curious. Were any of these bodies? Were you able to determine what killed them to begin with?
Actually, what killed them was having all of the liquids sucked out of their bodies.
Okay.
They were a little crispy, dry.
Okay. So they weren't killed and brought here then. Okay.
It's likely they were killed here.
All right, let's keep going.
Aether, I would like you at this point to give me both a stealth and a perception check.
All right.
I like how the dwarf is still splayed on the ground. dragged up the hall.
12 on the stealth.
12 on stealth, okay. That is factoring in your training.
Yep.
Okay.
And I apparently ran into the web, and I've got webbing in my eyes because I rolled a 1.
So with the minus 10, and your bonus is?
5.
5, okay. So 5 total or -5?
-5.
-5. All right, so you are sneaky.
Well, it'd be -4 because I rolled a 1, yeah.
Valid point.
Not that that really matters.
We're going to one negative. Isn't the mechanic one is actually negative 10.
Yeah.
One is as though the die said -10.
Okay.
As opposed to 10 minus 10. So
5 minus 10. So it's -5.
Okay. So Jethal proceeds forward.
Aether.
Or, I'm sorry, Aether, yes, not Jethal, because Jethal would object to that.
Yes.
Is there a globe very of darkness so. Right now?
There's not a globe of darkness, but again, you didn't proceed very much. So I would like the rest of you guys to make a quick perception check. Or at least, I would say at this point, Hup and Tegan.
14.
Oh, okay.
11 on the die.
Aether, I have found that walking with your eyes open allows you to see more.
Oh, is that the trick? Okay, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, goodness. What is this for?
This is perception.
Perception? I have a 5.
5 below 0?
-5, you're right. -5.
And your perception is?
So apparently we're walking hand in hand. Looking at each other must be. Is that the problem?
Gazing longingly into each other.
Your eyes... They sparkle in the torchlight.
11 base, 14 total.
All right. So as these two are,
I would like to use a hero point.
Okay, you can use a hero point.
I'm waiting for combat before I use mine.
No, I'm gonna need this. There we go. That's what we're talking about. 23.
Okay. So.
So you're not using his eyes.
You are proceeding down the hallway. And Aether is focused so much on sneaking, and he's moving webs out of the way, and...
With his eyes closed.
And with his eyes... No.
Well, I don't want to get it into my eyes.
And he's moving things around, and he hears a noise behind him as Roderick kind of like trips and falls, and Aether quickly turns to see what that is. As Aether confirms that everything is okay back with Roderick, Hup seems to make some sort of a whimper noise and points right over Aether's head. As Aether turns around, sees roughly a horse-sized spider rearing up to attack him.
Oh, that's not fun at all.
And I will go ahead and reveal that section of the map. And I know it's kind of hard to see on the
horse
map.
Horse-sized.
Is that a black widow?
That is it's a horse-sized black widow. Oh.
Like a horse spider. I didn't think they got that big.
And at this point, we will go ahead and roll initiative.
All right.
All righty.
So let me add everyone to the initiative chart here.
Unless we add our perception to our initiative roll, right?
I believe so.
Yes, your perception is your initiative unless you were being stealthy.
You are stealthy, and then you can use
then you are allowed to use your stealth instead of your perception.
Right.
If you choose to.
Oh, I would be using stealth, right?
In this scenario, because of the state the combat is starting in, I will allow stealth or your initiative.
Well,
stealth or perception.
I was fairly good at stealth while totally oblivious to the world.
Did you roll another one?
Wow, you are rocking it.
5 in 2 games.
Holy buckets. I'm going to cross that out. Do you have a Sharpie?
No, just you know, make that a 7.
Right? Yeah, make it a 2.
Okay.
Wow, I just can't believe that.
You are just...
Now, if I get 10 in a row, do I get a free one?
Yes, it's the paper, pencil, dice, punch card. It's our loyalty card. You roll 10 natural ones, your next natural 20 is free.
That would actually be a good mechanic.
You would be 3/4 of the way there.
Maybe you award a hero point for being so ridiculously bad.
It's a great idea.
I like that.
All right. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I will go around and call for initiative. So, Aether.
I have a 20.
20. And Tegan.
3 on the die, 6 total.
6. And Hup.
6.
Negative.
Oh, right. Sorry. Negative
4.
Negative 4.
Negative 4.
Is that what it is for initiative? Like, initiative doesn't go to the negative 10. That's only for skills checks, right? So it's actually a 1 plus my...
skill or attacks or stuff like that. So yeah, that's fine. So we'll do 6. I honestly don't know that. I'm mad what we can reference that later.
It would be an 8, actually, because I use stealth.
Oh, 8. Okay. Got it. And Jethal.
15.
15. And this is for Roddick. And this is for the spider. He also is not very fast. Oh, but he gets a free reroll.
Can you use a hero point?
Because he has an ability if he's on his webbing when he begins combat. But he rerolled also in the same die, or same number. So he is... All right, so we will start off with Aether.
All right. Well, I'm not liking the look of this spider, so obviously I think I'm going to take an attack against it.
Okay, and you did declare your weapons were already drawn before.
Yep. And this is my Falchion two-hander here that I'm going to take a stab at thee. Alright. So does a that is a, that's a 9. Does an 18 hit?
An 18 successfully hits.
Alright, so. Alright. So that damage will be 10 damage.
All right.
And then, since I'm using a Falchion, I believe I get Forceful as a trait of the weapon, so my next attack will build momentum and do additional damage, I believe.
Okay. Can you go ahead and read me that ability, how it works?
Forceful. This weapon becomes more dangerous as you build momentum. When you attack with it more than once on your turn, the second attack gains a circumstance bonus to damage equal to the number of weapon damage dice. And each subsequent attack gains a circumstance bonus to damage equal to double the number of weapon damage dice.
Okay. So are you going to make a second attack?
Yes, I will.
Okay. So remember, you get a minus 5.
Yep, minus 5. Well, I got a natural 1, so I'm pretty sure I might have hit myself.
I don't use critical failures in that quite that regard, but you do definitely miss.
All right.
And you have a third action. I use 2 of your actions.
Can I attack 3 times in one turn?
You can attack 3 times. The third one is at a minus 10.
Minus 10? Well, I think I should probably attack again.
Okay.
I mean, minus 10, but might as well go for it. So that would be a 9.
Overall?
Overall.
Okay. The 9 is a critical failure.
Okay.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, a 9 is not a critical. A 9 is a failure, not a critical failure.
I was going to say, what?
Dang.
I apologize.
Holy cow.
All right. And up next, after Aether, is Jethal.
I'm going to cast Daze.
Okay. Can you go ahead and read me what Daze does?
Yeah. You clap the target's mind and daze it with a mental jolt. The jolt deals mental damage equal to spellcasting ability modifier. The target must attempt a will save. If the target critically fails the will save, it is also stunned 1.
Alrighty. So, is there an attack roll, or if he just makes a save?
It is...
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I still roll, but you have a save.
Okay.
So 12 plus 7 is...
19. Okay, that successfully hits his AC.
And so then DC is 17.
DC is 17. He critically fails.
So critical fail. Yeah, so...
He's stunned for a turn?
He's stunned one.
Okay, so that means his next turn is essentially skipped. All right.
I will then also cast shield.
Okay.
Yep.
So you cast shield, which essentially raises your shield, readies an ethereal shield or a...
Yeah. So I can use it to block an attack if right. I get
hit. And it also increases your armor class by one passively, I believe, as well, for the turn.
Yes.
All right, so that is Jethal's turn. Roddick, who is behind Jethal over there, is going to pull out a small rod and use it on Jethal. Jethal gains a plus one to his next saving throw.
All right.
Roddick did that?
Roddick did that.
Where was he hiding that?
Thanks, buddy.
Didn't I go through his pockets for EpiPens?
Yeah, this wasn't an EpiPen.
Oh, darn. Okay, gotcha.
It looks a little bit like an EpiPen. No, it was a small wand that had stashed down his holster on his attachment.
Oh, I didn't look there. Okay.
Hup
is going to do a twin feint attack against the spider. So he can make that distance, right?
You would have to step up.
Yeah, I can step up, but I can use it. Now, because he's a large creature, he's large, right?
He is size large, yes.
So did that give us an advantage on attack since he's so big?
No, that just changes what his armor class is.
Okay, so I'm going to lead with the... I'm going to do a twin feint using the fire of the torch to kind of... My first one will be a torch.
Okay.
So I figure I might be able to get some fire damage out of that, and if nothing else, might freak him out, right, with fire.
Okay.
So I will do... My first attack is...
Are you proficient with torch?
I'm proficient with sap. I could use it kind of like a club or okay. sap. My first one is a 5, and I would add a plus 3. So that's an 8 is all that is.
Okay. You miss, and as part of the miss, by swinging it as quickly as you did, you actually put out the torch. It could be relit later, but the torch goes out as part of that swing.
Okay. So does that put me kind of at a disadvantage then?
No, because it's not dark enough that you can't see what you're doing. It's just... not as convenient. It's harder to see things.
Okay.
There's enough bioluminescent light that you're not at a disadvantage.
Okay. And my second attack will be... I do a negative 5 on this, right? But he's not flat-footed, though. Twin feint, make one strike with each of your weapons. Bolted. The target is automatically flat-footed against the second attack.
Correct. You have a minus 5 to the attack, but... Yes, he is flat-footed against it at the same time.
So that is this is with the rapier. So the rapier gets a plus 7, so that's a 23.
23, is that including the minus 5?
No, that would be 18.
Okay, 18 still hits.
Great. So that is...
And I believe you get to apply your sneak attack bonus as well, which is another d6 damage.
Yes. So that is 1d6.
Plus another d6 for sneak attack as well.
Yep, so that is... I rolled a 4 on the d6. Uh-huh. My dexterity, since it's an agile weapon and I'm a thief, I get to add my dexterity modifier for my... Or because it's not my... Because I'm a thief, it's because I have a skill to do... Right?
Use your dex instead of strength.
Yeah, use my dex instead of strength first.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's an 8 plus an extra d6, which is a 6. So that would be a total of...
And you roll a 6 for 14, your skill 14. Checks instead of your d20.
I should, absolutely. Absolutely, it would be a much higher number.
14 total?
14 total.
14 total. All right.
Is he dead?
He is, in fact, dead.
Yay!
It's only because I stunned him.
And he was going to go next, but he was stunned anyways. All right, you have successfully defeated a large spider.
Yay!
I'm just waiting for the, and then little spiders burst out.
Yeah. I mean, there are still little spiders all around, but after the large commotion, they've kind of scattered towards the walls at this point.
This is more mechanical than anything else. Could I have relit the torch on my third action? Or does that take more than a single action to do such?
You would have to. It's hard to light the torch when you're holding a torch in one hand and a rapier in the other.
I actually got the torches that actually have the strike pad, so you like run it across a brick wall and it will light. I spent extra for the man at the shop told me.
But since we are out of combat at this point, it's pretty easy to put your sword away and relight it.
Yeah, I figured as much, but. I'm just wondering, if I were in combat, could I have taken two attacks and then relit the torch?
I would say...
By dragging across the brick wall like the guy said I could.
There is no mechanical definition in the book, but I would say it takes two actions to light a torch.
Fair enough.
All right, is there anything in this little cave we're in? It looks like there's a little nook off to the east.
Chase the room down. Scan the room for...
Yeah. Well, so now that the combat's over and you guys have a little bit more time to observe the area, you see, obviously, more webbing kind of in the surrounding area.
And 27 more giant spiders.
there are several more spiders, but none that are giant ones. You're pretty sure that you have defeated the largest of all the spiders by this point.
Has the chitter chattering stopped?
Yeah.
Yes. You do not hear any more chittering. You're fairly certain that most of the chittering was probably coming from this spider that you just defeated.
I'm going to try to throw my voice and make it sound like chitter chatter behind Dithal.
Okay.
So you, looking around here. There is a small alcove up to the right. Down there appears to be several things piled up. In there, there is some more bags, possibly having money in them. The bags, though, do look fairly desiccated. They're small leather bags. There is a large hafted weapon here. Anyone who is familiar with weaponry would easily recognize it as a halberd.
Okay.
Is everyone familiar with what a halberd looks like?
Yeah. I am a very skilled weapon user, so I immediately recognize that.
Someone who's not skilled with large weapons would see it as a stick with a pointy thing.
It's a large stick with a pointed tip to it, and then also like an axe head at the end of the stick.
Yeah. Is that got a hook on it as well? So are they used to...
You can have halberds with hooks, but that's not kind of the default method.
Sure. I've seen them with like a spike on the other side of the...
Yeah, some of them do, so that way they can kind of be used for multiple different... This particular one only has the pike at the top and the axe head on the side.
Okay. So bags, large weapon, large halberd.
All right.
That's kind of it. It seems like anything that was indigestible to the spiders as they were going through these bodies was kind of just thrown off here.
Indigestible items.
Does this look like something that the person in the hallway might have been holding?
It looks probably roughly about the same size.
Okay.
There is a marking on it as well. This looks like this was actually possessed by a guardsman of the city.
Okay.
Of Inconimus, because it has the symbol of the city Inconimus on it.
Was there, or should we go back and investigate the bodies to see if there would be any indication that they might have been a guardsman, like in a uniform or anything?
It's the one that was right here, pulling apart the webbing, you definitely see at this point a slightly desiccated or slightly decomposed tabard of the city of Inconimus. The other ones, it's been so long those bodies have been there, it's very difficult to see what they may have been.
Anything of identification, like a ring or anything?
It says not to be in possession of any rings.
Okay.
All right. So let's search those bags.
Okay. Grand total between the bags that you found on the previous bodies, the bags you found in this hallway, you find a grand total of 23 gold and 17 silver.
And a halberd, you said.
And a halberd.
Yeah.
So. The halberd does not appear to be... Like, that short sword you found earlier was well crafted. This seems to be fairly standard issue. Halberd.
Did you know this guy?
No, but the city would probably want to know that one of the guardsmen's missing, and it might help us identify who it was.
Okay.
Further to the north, there's another alcove, and in there is something extremely strange. It is made out of metal, but it's a black metal. It appears to be roughly pyramid-shaped, but it's... most of you are familiar with people who have worked with metal. You can usually see where the hammer has hit it and, you know, kind of how it's been formed. This looks like it was just sprung into existence. Like, this is perfectly formed. If you could pick this up, which is far too large to pick up, it's probably in the tonnage as far as, you know, weight. It's roughly pyramid-shaped with a total of 4 large feet and then another 4 smaller feet in between each of the larger feet. It looks like they all come up to a single point at the top where they are meant to be holding something, like something would be on display at the top between... at the top of the pyramid, but there is nothing on display there.
Like something football shaped or
orb shaped?
Orb shaped, yes.
Hey, Roderick, could your orb have made this pyramid?
I don't believe it makes things. No, it's simply a power source of things.
Could it have sat on top of this? Would that have sat, does it look like
kind of
perfectly sized for...
So the pyramid itself is about 15 feet in height, so yep. He has to kind of climb up a little ways to see at the top. He gets up there, and you hoist him up. It makes it pretty easy for him to get up there. He looks like it was the seat that looks like would help. It looks like it would perfectly house that orb. So it's possible that orb may have come from here before it came into my possession. I'm not certain, but as far as the size of it, it would...
Do we see any...
Where did you get the orb?
I acquired it from someone who had sold it to me.
And you don't know what...
Describe this person that sold it to you?
Small goblin. I believe he went by the name
of Teak?
Yeah.
Things are starting to fall into this place. Do we see any markings or anything on this? Like language or any runes or anything like that?
Yes, there are actually runes on this metal thing. They are... I guess what languages does everyone speak?
All of them.
All of them?
Common, Gnomish, and Silvan.
Common what?
Common, Gnomish, and Silvan.
Gnomish?
Gnomish, that's what I said.
You said Gnomish.
Gnomish.
Nova Scotia.
It's halfway between Silvan and Gnomish.
And Jethal, what languages do you speak?
Celestial, Common, Dwarven, Elven, Gnomish, Silvan.
Okay.
Common, Elf, or Elven, I guess that would be... dwarf, gnomish, and a little bit of southern.
little southern drawl.
Little southern?
Aiden?
sorry. Common, elven, orcish, and sylvan.
Okay. As you approach this, you look, you see runes inscribed all over it. None of you recognize what the runes are. Does anyone interact with this in any way?
Is this, it looks
There's
magical.
There's an opportunity to interact with
There's an opportunity now to interact
with So Roderick actually interacted with it already, didn't he? Like, he touched
it. He climbed it, yeah.
So, like, when you say interact, what do you mean, like, interact?
I walk around it and just...
Push the red button.
Is there a red button?
There's not a red button.
Oh, if there's a red button, I would be all over it.
You do, if you're looking for opportunities to interact, however, as Roderick's climbing it, he doesn't seem to notice, but you do, that certain parts of it kind of momentarily glow blue when he touches them, but they immediately fade the moment he stops touching them.
So, I'm going to do, like, a... on the movie Elf, where he pushes all the elevator buttons, I'm gonna kind of do the whole. See which ones light up.
Okay.
Because they don't all light up. They only some light up, right?
Well, Well, as you are, if you're touching the runes, it seems like when you touch one, like a wave of blue energy goes like just in the rune symbols over the whole thing.
Oh, I see it. So like when you said he was touching, like some lit and some did, I thought maybe I was just trying to identify the ones that were active.
Any single one of them that you touch appears to have the wave.
Oh, so I'm not doing the whole elf elevator thing.
I mean, you can do the whole elf elevator thing, rub all the runes, but
elevator,
elevator,
elevator.
I'll try doing that on the other side, just kind of press in different spots, just going all the way around it.
Similar reaction to how. Yeah.
So I take that all in and I see those. I want to cast Detect Magic.
Okay.
And I can ignore magic I'm fully aware of.
Correct.
So
You're wanting to detect if this pyramid thing is magical.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hey guys, it's magical.
So Jethal, how does it work?
I don't know.
When you touch a thing, it glows blue.
Yeah. It glows blue when you touch it.
Can I see what kind of magic?
You're a magic user.
Like, it. Whether it's occult magic or religion magic.
Give me another bag.
You can try to identify. You can roll. Which one would you like to attempt to identify?
I'll start with religion.
Okay.
6 on the die, 3, so 9 total.
Possibly religious, or at least related to religious, maybe.
Okay.
But that doesn't appear to be all of it.
Okay. And then occultic.
Okay.
16 on the die, plus 1, 17.
It is definitely involved occult magic.
Okay. What's the other one?
There would be Arcana. Nature and Arcana are the other two.
All right. Nature's, this will be fun. 17 on the die and 17 total.
This does not appear to be natural.
Okay, and then Arcana. 9 and 1, so 10 total.
It does not really appear to be much in the arcane area of magic.
So it's definitely occult, possibly religion.
Don't they all think they're a religion?
Would I be able to...
Definitely occult magic. I don't know about religion, but it's not nature or arcana. Wizard, do you have anything that...
So which buttons do we push?
So that's what I'm looking at. So with occultism, could I decipher writings with that? Because it says one of the trained actions on here is ability to... decipher writings.
Okay. So you can...
I rolled a 17 on, so did I.
Well, let's see what he rolls, and we'll...
Okay.
So I get a plus 7. All right, so I get a plus 7. 15 plus 7, so... 22.
Okay. So between the two of you, you're able to identify that it is a language that these runes are, and you seem... they appear that each rune... indicates some sort of a different function, but beyond that, that's about the amount that you can get out of it.
Okay.
You get out of it that the functions, well, again, you don't identify what the functions are of each of these symbols. It definitely has to do something to do with navigation.
Okay. And that, so I guess I don't know if I do. I need to do an additional roll, because there's also the, like, the other trained actions for occultism is identify magic and learn a spell.
You can identify that this is a magical item, but it's not. It's not using any occult spells.
Okay. Because this is particularly occult magic. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you are able to identify that this pyramid-like device has something to do. At least the terms that it seems to be equivocate to appears to be navigation-related terms. But beyond that, you're not really sure what anything does or means exactly.
So I have a scribing skill.
Uh-huh.
So lore. Would it help me there? Would this help me at all?
Roll it. Let's see how good you do.
I got a 13 total. 13. 7 plus 6.
In the scribing skill, the one thing you get out of it is the way the language is written out, it seems to be computational in some way. So it appears to be like function based. It's not trying to relay information, but it's command based.
Sure. Do I feel compelled do I feel drawn towards the ones? Because it seems to be the dice are certainly drawn towards the ones.
They are, in fact, drawn more towards the ones.
The zeros he can
ignore. Right.
You, I mean, it's... If you had to give a language to this, you would probably call it...
Math.
You'd call it runics.
Runics. If it were just a cube, then we'd have runics cube.
Runics.
Yeah. Yeah. So should we keep... Let's keep going and see if we can find the orb.
Yeah, I think it's good to know where this is at.
Yeah, I think we've probably figured out as much as we can here. We should probably move on.
Okay. Yep.
Does it, Roddick? He knows some extra stuff. Does he notice anything about this? Does he derive anything?
The pyramid from this? Seems to be entirely new to him.
But what about this? What about the language? Has he seen anything with all the stuff that he's done? Has he seemed familiar to him? I mean, he's a familiarity.
He seems to, like, when if you ask him about the language at all, he says, I've seen some of those runes before when trying to activate the orb. Occasionally it's projected light, and on the walls it appears to be in some of these same symbols, but I've never had any idea what they ever meant.
Right. I think it's transportation based. I think it does, like, I think it's a teleporter.
Oh. So it's not a bus or like...
That'd be cool.
No, not a bus. I've as a child, I used to read graphic scrolls, and there was a whole adventure series where they there was a guy had a box that he would go into, and he would push buttons, and it would, you know, it was very interesting.
Transport, yeah.
Interesting.
It was very, very strange.
All right, let's keep going. All same right. order.
So do you, same marching order, do you go back the direction you came, or at this point you see the hallway continues on past that alcove to the west at this point?
We have been kind of good. We've been having good luck going forward.
Yeah, let's keep going.
All right. Say we keep going.
So you continue going forward, and in the distance you see a very large crystal. And at this point, we will call this episode to a close.
Aww.
Thank you for joining us for Paper, Pencil, Dice Podcast, a tabletop role-playing podcast.